Cold mornings, frosty windows. Yep, it's that time of year. So treat yourself and start your day with a cup of fresh roasted Sterling Roastery coffee, sourced from around the world and roasted multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. It's the kind of warm-up every sports fan deserves this holiday season. And right now, you can win one of three $50 Sterling gift cards, perfect for gifting or building your own winning lineup of Java in the morning. Enter today at sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways so you can wake up, warm up, and Sterling up this holiday season. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
125 defining moments, one legendary league. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and a great book is out right now, NFL Moments, 125 Icons and Stories That Define the NFL. It's a definitive visual history of the National Football League, packed with iconic images and untold stories behind the game's biggest plays and its greatest players. From the early legends like Red Grange to today's stars like Patrick Mahomes, this book is a touchdown for fans who crave more than just stories. So give your football bookshelf a Hall of Fame upgrade or snag a holiday gift for that NFL history buff on your shopping list. Pick up NFL Moments, available now at your favorite bookseller. In this episode, I'm diving into the hidden rules of the NFL that most fans have no clue about. You might see some of these pop up on any given Sunday, and you'd be ready for it if you listen to our five coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to a little bit of rules history and maybe some modern rules that will try to enlighten you on some very obscure rules in the NFL rulebook that you might not be aware of, but they could pop up at any moment. And actually, most coaches and serious NFL fans other than the officials might not know about some of these things, but we're going to try to make them a little bit more mainstream and popular so to fill your football brain up with some great thoughts here. Before we get into full subject matter of today's episode, why don't you make sure you hit subscribe and like and hit that notification bell. Now, things, you know, modern wise, you know, the last couple of years we've had the dynamic kickoff. And just this weekend, you know, I don't think any of us as fans and people that even study the rules like I do even fully understand it, because you don't see some things very often. But this weekend I saw it was during the Packers and Steelers game on Sunday night, where Chris Boswell of the Steelers kicker kicked the ball. It landed into the drop zone and the Packers let it skip through the end zone and go out. Well, the Packers got the ball at the 20-yard line, just like the old touchback rule from a few years ago. So that's just one of those obscure rules. But that's not one of the five that we're going to cover tonight. We're going to cover some really interesting ones. And the first one's kind of a doozy that most people don't know about. And that is the fair catch free kick. And let me explain that a little bit. This is at all levels of football, high school, college, and a professional level. It is a little bit of an older rule, but whenever during a punt, if someone waves a fair catch and they catch it, the ball's dead right there. Well, that team that's awarded the fair catch at any time has the option of a free kick for point. In essence, that means they can kick a field goal without any defense on the field. They can line up just like they would during the opening kickoff, a kick at the field goal on the awarded fair catch field goal. So that would probably not happen in the middle of a game, but that would definitely happen at the end of a half where a team needed trying to get a quick score. And if somebody's punting from deep in their own end zone and you fair catch at the 50-yard line, well, guess what? These kickers these days can kick from the 50-yard line and put the ball 60 yards in the air with ease, especially when there's not 11 guys trying to bear down on them and block the kick. So that's, and it's right off the tee too. So that's kind of a cool rule to do that's very obscure in the ways of the NFL. Now, the horse collar rule has become popular over the last decade or so when it was instituted, and it really protects the players mainly from getting their legs, the runner's legs getting injured by that sudden jerk of somebody reaching inside the collar. So, you know, technically it's anything inside the collar is a horse collar. If they try to tackle inside the shoulder pad, inside the neckline of the jersey. But the NFL recently, over the last couple of years, has expanded that to the nameplate on the jersey too. So the nameplate is the back of the jersey above the numbers where a guy's name would be, just like the Jesus says. So if somebody grabs a hold of that nameplate and jerks him back, that is also under the jurisdiction of a horse collar in the National Football League's rules. A face mask. Now, we always think of a face mask of grabbing a hold of that cage in front of the person's face that we call the face mask itself. But technically, at all levels of football, any opening of the helmet that is grasped and tugged by a defender or the opposition, I guess, it doesn't have to be a defender, that is a face mask, including the ear hole underneath the helmet, the back of the helmet, inside the helmet, above the face mask. You know, that is a face mask anywhere on that helmet that runners are protected from that happening. So might not know that rule, but that is definitely, what is that? But something else that maybe the modern fan doesn't realize, but the goalpost location, we're so used to it now at all levels, the goalposts are back on the end lines, the back of the end zones, 10 yards away from the field of play of where, you know, your yard lines are. But it wasn't until like 1972 or 1973 that the National Football League moved them from the goal line back to the end lines. So you'll see some of these, like the AFL games and during the merger, Super Bowl 1, 2, 3, and 4, where the goalposts are on the goal line. People are running by them as they're scoring touchdowns going over the goal line. And probably had a few accidents there too, of people running into them, you know, long passes or what have you. But yeah, the goalposts were moved 10 yards back. That's just fairly recently in the 1970s that occurred. Now, the extra point play in the National Football League, and I believe this is this way in college too, and I'm not sure if high school has it, and I haven't been in the high school rule books the last 10 years or so, but if the defense on the extra point play does a scoop and score or a pick six or somehow gets their hands, a block kick in return for, they can return it to the opposite end zone and get 2 points out of that. Most people don't do it because we don't see it very often. It happens maybe once or twice in college football. You'll see a highlight reel of, you know, make the top 10 the next day. Not a very common occurrence, but in the rule book, the defense on an extra point play can score points. Kind of an interesting one that not a lot of people are aware of it. So there you have it. There is a few of the secret NFL rules that change the game. You know, knowing new rules can add a new layer of enjoyment to watching a game, help fans to realize the complexities of the sport. And it's also a pretty cool talk around the water cooler when you're looking for something to talk to with your buddies at work or wherever, having a few suds after a long day, or out on the front porch talking with your neighbor, you know. Now, if you've got a secret rule or some NFL trivia to share, just drop it in the comment sections here on the YouTube channel or write us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And if you're interested in more videos like this, be sure to check out the other content on NFL history and football, American football history in general, right here on Pigskin Dispatch channel. Check out our podcast. Check out our website, pigskindispatch.com. Until next time, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
You did not see their faces on the Wheaties boxes, nor did they have the headlines, but they were breaking barriers, one pitch at a time. The integration of minor league baseball, a history and player register, 1946 to 1959, by Rick Swain and Gary C. Fink, shines a light on the overlooked heroes who paved the way for future legends. From dusty bus rides to hostile crowds, these players fought for a place in a game that did not want to see them win. More than history, it's a tribute to courage, perseverance, and the power of a game to change. Honor their legacy today and grab a copy of The Integration of Minor League Baseball at your favorite bookseller.